אנחנו בהר מירון באירוע קשה מאוד. בינתיים צריך לומר שכוחות הביטחון מתחילים לפנות את ההר. ככל הנראה האירוע כאן של לג בעומר מגיע לסיומו. המשטרה מחליטה לפנות לחלוטין את ההר כדי לאפשר את הטיפול בעשרות הנפצעים. זה אירוע חריג. הבעלה כאן רבה.
זה גמרא עם ברכות דף נון תסמד אלף discussing the bracha that we make on thunder. The Mishnah on Nun Dalet says shekocho gvuraso malei olam, that the power and the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills up the entire world. Thunder is something that wherever you are, you can still hear it all over the place. It's heard far and wide. That's the bracha that we make on things you hear coming from all different directions. So the Gemara on Nun Tes says Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Amar Rabbi Yishev ben Levi, Lo nivru ra'amim ela lifshot akmumi shebelev. Thunder was created in order to straighten out the crookedness that's in the heart. Shenamar velokim asa sheyiru milafanav. It could rain without thunder. You don't need to have thunder. What does thunder add to a rainstorm? What does thunder add to the world? Why did Hashem create thunder? So says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, thunder was created to straighten out the crookedness within the heart. It shakes somebody up. It makes somebody realize, wow, there's something way more powerful, way more greater, way more enormous than me. Rav Ella Lapian once said that if you were looking at somebody that's working with metal, and he's hitting the metal, let's say to bend it, to change it, to shape it, so from the tool that he's using, you could learn what is it that he's trying to do. How major of a job. If he's tapping on it lightly with a light little hammer, so you know it's something he just wants to fix a little bit. He's banging on it with something a little bit stronger, then he's trying to fix it more. But if he's smashing it with a sledgehammer, then you realize, wow, this metal is really out of shape. This metal really needs work. I think that we all felt after a year of corona, right away from the beginning, for the first bunch of months, everybody was talking about what we need to work on, what we need to learn from this, how we need to better ourselves. And it was one of the things I felt beautiful was that in every community and in every individual, almost on their own, came to the similar type of conclusion. What is it that Hashem wants to work on? When you find yourself walking around with a mask on your face, it's telling the Jewish person we have to work on our Lashon Hara, and the shuls are closed and the masks, you know, not to speak during davening. Everybody was coming up with similar type of conclusions. That's because the Chafetz Chaim used to give a mashal that if somebody would say, you're in China, and somebody gets up on a podium and starts screaming in Hebrew. So who is he talking to? The Chinese people don't know Hebrew. Obviously, he's talking to anybody that knows Hebrew. That's who it is that he's speaking to. Nowadays, we're not zochet to be able to have nevuah. We're not zochet to be able to hear Hashem speak to us directly. So how does he speak to us? He speaks to us through the different things that he does in the world. He does to us personally. Things that he presents to the world through his thunder. The fact that everybody comes with similar conclusions is a sign that, yeah, the Jewish heart, this is how we're understanding the language of Hashem. Then clearly, this must be one of the messages that he's trying to tell to us. I don't think it flew over any of our heads that after a whole year of corona, last year all the people, that it was so important for them to be able to be in Meiron, they weren't able to go there, we weren't able to be together in gatherings. This was supposed to be the first one. For such an enormous tragedy to take place specifically on that day, is almost like you feel like Hashem's shaking us up, saying, wait, maybe we're not fully getting the message. Maybe there's still something that we need to work on. Something that was painfully unique. Also, in what we went through, is that there wasn't a community that wasn't hit. You see what's the group of people that go to Meron? It's from all around the world and from all shades within Judaism that are there. And they were all the ones that were hit, meaning nobody could say the problem is by them. He's trying to shake them up. He's trying to get their attention. Oh, chaval for them. But he made sure nobody got skipped over with this message. And the message is coming closer and closer to home. If Corona, the first place that it ended, was in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe that should have made us be chozer b'tshuva, not just enjoy ourselves and just feel free from our masks, but maybe we were meant to do even more, appreciate Hashem more, not fight, not be in arguments, work on Avas Chinam, etc. And maybe if we're still not getting the point, he needs to knock us even harder. I don't know. It feels like everybody's saying similar things, so it sounds like a message that Hashem wants us to have, and that it specifically happened on the day that Rabbi Kiva's Tamidim finished dying. They finished dying because they were Nagu Kavod Zebazeh. And if on that day, we're supposed to be celebrating them finished dying, that's when something so painful happens to us. Now, it can't hurt to also work on Nagu Kavod Zebazeh, mechabed one another, and not just people that are like us, but also people that are not like us. And that's not just when we're with them, but it's also the way we talk about them, the way they refer to other people. Speak about them like one would speak about the children of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Yankel Galinsky used to be a very powerful speaker. And often he would go to the stipler and ask him, what should I speak about? What message should I give across? But sometimes there was a terrible tragedy that would happen. He would say, maybe I should tell everybody that they should work on this. Maybe I should tell everybody they should work on that. Maybe we're lacking in this. And the stipler stopped and said, wait a second. Let me give you a mashal. He says that if a wagon was traveling somewhere and one of the wheels breaks, so it can't move any further, but he has a long way to go. So he's going to go to the nearby city and try to find somebody that could fix wheels. If his horse suddenly breaks his leg, he's going to go to the nearby city, sell his horse, and buy a new one to be able to get to where he's going. But what if it's Erev Shabbos and it's after Chatzos, and he is like an hour or two left until Shabbos in his city, he sees it right over there, he's almost there. What does he do? Then he tries to find a nearby town or nearby city. He said, no, there's no time to fix it anymore. He said, now he just hits his horse, yells at it, pushes it along, and tries to shove it into the city just to get there anyway. Said the stipler, all through Gullus, the long Gullus that we've been through. So yeah, it was very often proper and appropriate to look at ourselves and think, what do we need to work on? What do we need to change? What do we need to fix? When Mashiach is so close in sight, when the Gula is so close there, then right now the message just to tell everybody is to grab on and hold on to the Muna and just push further. We're almost there. It's not necessarily time that we can figure out what are the things that need to be fixed. Just fix everything in general. Grab onto your Muna and keep on moving further. Another thing the stipler said to Rav Yankel Galinsky is that you have to say this. He said, what? Tell them that whoever keeps the first pasuk is going to get the second pasuk. Whoever does the first pasuk is going to get the second pasuk. What are you talking about? What's the first pasuk? What's the second pasuk? In the last nevuah that we've ever heard, the last clear message that we had from Hashem to the Jewish people, from the last Navi, Malachi, he says the following. He's talking about the very end of days before Mashiach comes. He says there'll be people during that time that are going to say, Shav avod Elokim, uma betza kishamarnu mishmarto. It's worthless, it's a waste to serve Hashem. What do we gain from it? We just see complete darkness. We don't see anything moving anywhere, getting anywhere. Nothing seems to make sense. And then the pasuk says, and this is the first pasuk the stipler is referring to, Az nidbru yirei Hashem isha re'ehu v'yakshev Hashem v'yishma. Then, during those times where Hashem is so hidden and it's so dark, those with the Yirat Shemayim are still going to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're still going to try to find meaning in their life and realize and know that Hashem is behind everything. And Hashem is going to listen to those conversations. V'yishma, he's going to hear that. V'yikasev sif ezikaron lefanav. And he's going to write it in the book. L'yirei Hashem l'choshve shemob. The book about those who have Yirat Shemayim and continue to not let go of Hashem and think about Him, even at times of complete darkness. That's the first pasuk. And then the second pasuk, a few pasukim later, is Hine anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu Hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadah v'anora. I'm going to send you Eliyahu Hanavi right before the Geula comes to announce to you that the Geula is coming. Those, says the disciple, that grab onto Amunah during the times of darkness, in the times that it's so hard to see Hashem, they're going to be able to be zochet to be there at the time of Hine anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu Hanavi. The Gra in Evan Shlema says the following: Hageula mechuna b'shem boker. The Geula is referred to as boker, as the morning. V'chein mechuna b'shem leida. Geula is also referred to as birth, as a woman giving birth to a baby. We say lahagid ba'boker chastecha ve'amunascha b'leilos. In the boker, in the Geula, we're going to be able to see and recognize and talk about all the chasadim of Hashem, how everything looking back makes sense. Hayinu kachomim, it'll look like all of Gullus was really just a dream, that each thing now fits together and we understand how it was for the good. And we know the Mishnah in Brachos says that, yeah, it's true, that now we make Baruch Dayan HaEmes on tragedies that we go through, and we make Baruch HaTova HaMeitiv on happy and good things that are in front of us. But when the Geula comes, we're going to make HaTova HaMeitiv on everything, because then we're going to see how everything was really for the good and it's going to make sense to us. But that's not the period of time that we're in right now. Now, in the period of time of the Amunascha Balelos, Balelos during the time of the Gullus, that's when we grab onto our Amunah. And when the Boker comes, when the Geula comes, then we're going to be able to talk about the Chasadim, about everything was really for the good. The Gra says the following. This is all the Gra in Yohel Or on Parshas Mishpatim. We know that the final Geula is going to be similar to the Geula from Mitzrayim. The pasuk in Micha says, "Ki made seis chem eretz Mitzrayim are enu neflaos." Like the days that you left Mitzrayim, I'm going to show you wonders once again. And the Gemara says, those wonders of the final geula when it comes are going to way overshadow all the miracles that we just spoke about on Leila Seder. And it's just like in Mitzrayim, we know that right before the geula came, everything got much harder, much worse. There were more people dying, there were more tragedies happening, and it looked like their being free was way, way far in the distance, but really Hashem was speeding up the coming of the geula. So too, says the Gemara, that's what it's going to be like right before the Mashiach comes. The Gemara says, Amar B'Yochanan, Im ra'ita dor shetzoras rabos bo'os alav kanahar, if you see a generation where there's tzara after tzara, tragedy after tragedy, one after the other, like a river, chakelo, wait for him, wait for the geula. And then he says something, I don't know what he means. Maybe now we know what he means. He says, V'kodam ha-ge'ula yichbar ha-galos yotim mikal ha-galos, k'mo shekasav ha-galos mitzayim tichbar ha-avoda. V'zeu l'maher ha-ge'ula, that's to rush the ge'ula. K'mo shekasav, and then he brings a gemara. And why is he bringing this gemara in brachos, davav, agra dekala dovka. Agra dekala dovka. The schar, when people are smushed together in a shear, the schar they get is for the pressure, the shmushness, being pushed together. V'hu shacharus ha-shachar. And that's the darkness right before the morning comes. Why is shachar? Shachar is referred to as shachor, darkness. Because the geula is like the morning, and right before the morning is the darkest, darkest time of night, right before the sun starts to come up. But the grub very peculiarly throws in this gemara, agra dekala doka, the pressure. When you're in this place to receive Torah, that's what the schar comes from, and that's the shachar, the shachar, the darkness right before the morning. One of the things we said in the Haggadah was Vayar Hashem Eslachatzenu. Right before the Gula, what was it that made Hashem free us? There's a list of things. One of them was Lachatzenu, and it said in the Haggadah, Zuha Dachak. That was the pressure. Squished, but also we said the final geula, Hashem sees lachatzenu with zua dacha. One of the chazals, chazal means something in every level you understand it. It says kedaihu Rabbi Shimon lismoch alav b'shas hatchak. Rabbi Shimon is worthwhile relying on even b'shas hatchak. Now that the chazal takes on a whole new meaning, that even b'shas hatchak, at a time where the pressure, what happened, and that people died from it, trust that there's something going on over there in Shemayim, and there's a reason that's behind it. And then he goes on and he talks about how it's also like the giving birth. We know that the pain before the coming of the Mashiach, which even if it lasts 70 years, 80 years, but still it's all Chevle Leda, it's the birth pains, the giving birth. When a woman starts to go into labor, it can last a day or two, it can last a few hours. We know that there's going to be a baby coming out of this at the end of the day. And he goes on and he explains, just like as the baby is about to come out, the contractions get closer together, they get stronger, and they get more painful. That's what it's going to be like right before the geula comes. I was thinking, I have no doubt in my mind, I think it's pashut, that tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands of people that were there in Meron, davening in this makom kadosh, on a day that was kadosh, and everybody so much wanted to pour their hearts out to Hashem. I saw everybody around me crying. For sure, everybody this year was davening for the Mashiach more than they ever davened before. We always daven for the geula, but Klal Yisrael is talking about it more, feeling it more, and davening harder for it, and for sure that happened. In my mind, I was thinking, like, maybe that brought upon a very strong contraction, a very strong, long, painful contraction to hasten the geula. And we know, at the time of the contraction, so they also say, but you also need to push. You also need to push at that same time. So yeah, it's extra painful, and yeah, this is producing something, it'll be something good, and the woman herself knows this is good, something good is going to come out of it, but she's still in so much pain. But at the same time, one also needs to push when they're going through that period of time. It's not a period of time for us to turn off. It's not a period of time for us to close our hearts and to try to block it out because it's too painful to deal with. But it's a period of time to have to push this through, to make this be the contraction that brings the geula, not to let it just fly over our head. One of the messages we have to also know in these periods of times is that we don't feel bad at all for the people that died. We feel bad for everybody that's missing them, for the family members, for the friends, for the rest of the Jewish people, our pain. But for the people themselves that died, we don't feel bad for them at all. There's no greater place that they could be right now. There's no more powerful of a kapara that they could have been through. Whatever pain they went through, we might be replaying it on our head, but it's not being replayed by them. They're way past that, a moment after their body left them. I have no doubt that many of them, if not all of them, were Zocha to say Shema Yisrael, because a lot of the people that survived at the last second said that they said Shema already. So chances are the people that passed away also got to say Shema. And they're right there on the day where Shem Bayochai is there to greet them. And if they're Zocha, and they will be Zocha, that they're helping to bring the Mashiach through their death. What greater schutz could you have on your plate to be in such a place? Who could accomplish such a thing even in a longer lifetime than what they had? So it's not them that we feel bad for. They're in the holiest of places, and they're more than okay. One of the things it says in Parshas Re'eh, Banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem lo tisgodelu v'lo tasimu karcha b'neinechem l'meis. When somebody dies, you should remember that your sons to Hashem, and don't pull out your hair and don't scratch yourself. Meaning, there has to be a limit to your pain. Yes, you should cry, but you can't completely lose yourself in that pain. Why? Because banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. So the Ibn Ezra says over there, the Ramban brings down, Shetedu shatem banim la'Hashem v'hu ohev etchem yotem ina'av l'beno. You think you feel bad for the person that passed away, or for the people that are hurt. Hashem is a father to all of them, and He feels the pain way more. Your son's to Him. He knows what He's doing. He called Mashiach l'tovu. And if you don't understand it, then it's just like when children don't understand their father, when little kids don't understand their father, but they still rely on Him, they still trust on Him. And we should never think that we're more merciful, and we know more what's fair and what's more correct than Hashem Himself knows. And then the pasuk says, Ki am kadosh atol Hashem. What's the connection, Ki am kadosh atol Hashem? So the Rabban says, you're an am kadosh, you're going back to Hashem when you leave from this world. You're going to be by the Kisei HaKavod. You're in the highest and closest places. What are you tearing your hair out? That person that just passed away, they're in the best place ever. It wasn't a tragedy for them, says the Ramban. What do you think? It ends over there? That's the very beginning. That's barely even a scratch of the surface of a person's existence. Most of their existence is the eternity afterwards. We can't be so short-sighted and only look at exactly what it is that we could see and leave ourselves just at that. But the correct and proper Jewish reaction is not to forget, not to push out of our head the family members and the friends, and to walk around with that. Chafetz Chaim, during World War I, it says for a few years, he slept on the floor. He wouldn't sleep in a bed. He said, the soldiers that are battling in the war, they're sleeping on the floor. How could I sleep on a bed? So it's appropriate that we carry around the pain of the families with us. We shouldn't block it out of our head. We should feel their pain, and anything we could do to comfort them, daven for them, give tzedakah towards them, that is definitely the correct and a Jewish response. One of the things we have to step over is not to be pulled into just talking about how terrible it was and how painful it was and all the things that they're going to show us in the news, but to look at it the way a Jew looks at things, to get chizik from it, to grow an emunah from it. And then we even make their death that much more meaningful, and we bring them schuyos. If all the Jewish people are chozer b'tshuva, and everybody is on a certain level, everybody is more humbler, everybody is more broken and less gaivadik, everybody davened somewhat more because of it. So all those schuyos go to them, and the more we grow from it, the more schuyos that we're going to bring to them. One of the things that goes through our mind, that should go through our mind, when a life is suddenly taken, is the value of life itself. Why are we so broken? Because people's lives didn't continue. Yeah. Oh, and life is so, so valuable. And I still have life. So I really want to use it. What they wouldn't do now to be able to live more and do more Torah and mitzvot, and we have that. How many of us, if not every one of us, thought about what it would have taken to be in that spot? Very little, and some of us were in that spot. What they would have done to be able to walk out and continue to go back to yeshiva, continue to learn, continue to use their time and to grow, we have to do that. We have to do that because now we even more feel the pinch of how valuable life is, and therefore we have to use our life even more. A person's lifetime is limited. We're only here for a certain amount of time. Time is something that's not abstract. It's something real. It's something that Hashem created. Every minute that goes by is an opportunity that passes. The mashal that's given is like bottles on a conveyor belt. Every minute of our life is like bottles on a conveyor belt. If you fill that bottle, it'll be eternally filled. You don't, you have an eternally empty bottle over there. That's true about every minute and every hour. And our life is passing. We don't know when it's going to end. But it does have an end point, and there's a certain number of bottles meant to be filled up. One of the things that we take for granted is the minutes and the hours of our life, and using them fully to the fullest.